Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm Dr. Judy. Today I have a special guest who's making a return appearance because we had so much fun the first time around that we decided that we wanted to continue the conversation. So my guest today is David Allen Arnold, and for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, you might remember that he is our Hollywood helicopter cameraman. And so he has filmed all over the world for things like Deadliest Catch and Housewives of Hollywood and The Greatest Race, and I mean, just so many things, or Amazing Race, whatever it is. I don't watch TV. But he's done such cool work. But somewhere along the way, he managed to rescue what he calls the world's meanest dog. So, David, welcome aboard. I want to talk more about this dog today.
Dr. Judy, thank you so much for having me back. I really enjoyed our talk last time.
So I just, you know, first of all, I've met you in person. I love you as a person because you're like unstoppable. You're just like, oh, geez, fell down the stairs, get back up, get back to the top. And, you know, it's just like, oh, our helicopter is, you know, crashing to the ground and there's bears attacking us. Well, okay, you know, what do I do with this? Oh, gee, we're lost at night in the Bering Straits, you know, in the ocean. You know, the helicopter pilot doesn't know which way to go. We're going to crash. We're going to run out of fuel. Well, we'll just turn this around. You know, most people would have said, you know, gotten out, kissed the ground, walked away, and said, never getting in that thing again.
Well, since you put it that way, I guess I have a lot of problems, actually.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think you kind of said it in your book, which is out. For those who are not aware, the first book, Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, is amazing. I just finished it. It's available on Amazon. So it's Help from Above, David Allen Arnold. Google it, buy it. It is an awesome book. I really enjoyed it. But it's one of those where you sit on the edge of your seat going, oh my gosh, is he going to survive this? And, you know, and then he's like, oh, shake it off, you know. And then, like, the next chapter, it's like, really, again? But that's that's the nature of the beast, right? When you're flying in these little tiny helicopters in dangerous skies, is that just kind of how it is?
Well, it is a little dangerous. 23 years ago, I started in this business, and on day one, I was told, well, Dave, you know, this is kind of dangerous work, and very few men make a long career out of it. And I'm now in my second decade of doing it, and I guess I've entered my third decade of doing it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I've had to think about it a lot, and I've had people ask me why do I do a dangerous job, and the only real answer I can come up with is I think that as humans, we are built for adventure. And I think that we spend so much time in life trying to push away all risk and danger. You know, do I want to help anybody? No, I don't want to help somebody. That could go bad for me. Or, you know, do I want to stop my car and pick up a dog out of the street? No, I don't want to stop a dog. I might get bit, you know, I might get bit by the dog. It's running in the street. And I think sometimes it's easy to focus too much on making the safe choice and pushing away risk. And I think that when we do that, it's actually a little bit kind of like when you talk about, you know, health and nutrition for dogs. It's sort of like you need not only food, but you also have to feed your spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think that adventure feeds our spirit.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of quotes out there that talk about, would you rather, slide safely into home plate at your death, or would you rather look back and say, wow, what a roller coaster ride, I grabbed life by the throat and just, went all out. And, I think successful people are people who are willing to take risk, who are willing to say, Jack Canfield says, just fail miserably. Like, if you're going to fail, like, set the goal big enough that it's like, well, okay, didn't get there, but man, what I did get was pretty cool. So, sometimes you aim for the mountain and you climb a pretty big hill on the way and it's like, hey, that was kind of cool. So, there is something for taking risk, although I have to tell you, I'm afraid of heights, so I can't even stand on my desk, let alone be in a helicopter. I've never been in a helicopter. I don't think it's my thing.
Well, on the sort of sobering side of my adventures, I have lost a number of friends over the years who died while doing what I do for a living. And those stories are in the book. And, I was, I lost one of my best friends in the world to a helicopter accident. And I spoke at his funeral, which was a little challenging, a little hard to do, but I did it. And afterwards, we walked outside, and all of his friends flew over in helicopters and airplanes.
And, wow.
The last airplane was, I didn't exactly know who was going to do what in the flyby, but the last airplane that went over was a fighter jet. And he blew smoke out of his exhaust. So just before he got to us, he put the engines to full throttle, and those engines forced a huge cloud of white smoke out of the tailpipe from the back of the jet. And he went full throttle and he pulled straight up into the air as he did a barrel roll over the funeral. And just disappeared into the wild blue sky. And I didn't know he was going to do that. So I was a little, I just kind of burst into tears when I saw it. I thought it was such a beautiful statement. And like you said, I think that that's one way to live is to go full throttle. And whatever your life is, to live every second of it. And sometimes I think that we get so obsessed with how long we're going to live, it's easy to forget that it's important, how you live and what you do with the time that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, what's interesting, I did an interview last week with a veterinarian, Dr. Stange. She's from Durango, Colorado. And I actually met her because she was teaching a class that I took on traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, hospice, and palliative care. And her 6 hours of lectures were all on the spirituality of animals and, well, really people too, and souls. And she interviewed shamans and Buddhists and monks and priests and rabbis and, pretty much, every religion, and talked to them all about, how our spirit lives on and what is really there. And then also Roberta Grimes, who's from Quantum Leap, which is where we met. And she's an expert in death and the afterlife. And everyone you talk to who has something to do with that and has studied that, they all say that life here in the physical realm is only about 5% of our existence. And the other 95% is in this spiritual realm where it's love and light and happiness, and that if we really pay attention, those spirits are around us all the time, and when we need them, they're there. And I think, after reading your book, Help from Above, you definitely have people watching over you. So, I am now 100% sure after reading your book that Gibbs has now become one of those people who's also watching over you. But, you know, it is, you know, I've had clients that I've, you know, clients who are, you know, kind of in touch with that side of that realm, you know, will say, oh, you know, my dog comes and visits me all the time after they pass. You know, I hear him walking up and down the hallway. I hear his ball bouncing down the hall. And, you know, whether we just have really good imaginations or we've had incidents in our house. We just lost one of our dogs, Abby, not too long ago. And Pookie, who's our little girl who's the star of Breakfast with Spaniels, she has never barked in the 10 years we've owned her. She's never barked. And she makes this high-pitched squeak and raspy noise that we think is she's been debarked when she was at the puppy mill because she just doesn't bark.
Oh, wow.
She makes really weird noises. So after Abby passed, about a week later, and Hugh caught it on video because he was so astounded, he was sitting in the office, and he hears an unrecognizable bark from the next room. And he goes in, and Pookie is sitting on the sofa, and he whipped out his phone because she was sitting there barking, a real dog bark. And she was staring across the room, kind of into space, and barking. And Hugh said, oh, my God, I think this is Abby speaking through Pookie, just letting us know, hey, I'm okay. Look, I'm over here. And it was so weird. He's like, and he caught it on video. And so I come in from work, and he's like, you're not going to believe this. And she's never done it since. Just that one time.
Wow.
And, you know, I was like, okay. Like, this dog doesn't know how to bark. So I think if we pay attention, there's subtle things going on around us all the time. And I think we do have, you know, those beings, you know, whether it's grandparents, parents, friends, you know, animals, whatever. I think we're being watched over and helped when we need it the most. We just have to look for it.
Well, God bless you. God bless Pookie. it's funny that you brought that up because I haven't really talked a lot about what's actually in the book. And I think a lot of people are going to be a little surprised when they read some of the stories because I am the cameraman of Deadliest Catch in the helicopter. And I live a life of adventure. But when I sat down to write my story, I had to include some of the messages that I've gotten from loved ones that I lost. And it's always been a part of my life, but until I sat down to write the book, I never really thought about it. I never really put it together in any way. I never considered that I've received messages from several of my loved ones who I lost. And but I have, and it has been a part of my life. And I guess my story is a little bit unusual because kind of like you and Hugh and was it Pookie?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
like kind of like you and like you guys, you had witnesses, you know.
Right.
It's not just that the little unbarked, debarked doggy was barking. It's that someone else saw it and you have a video of it. And my life is very similar in that when I've received messages from someone I lost who died, there were other people there who also witnessed it. And so I hope that those stories are a comfort to people who read the book because I know that when my mom died, it was the most, although I am a happy person, it was the most really sort of painful part of my life to that point. And so getting a message from her after she died was a huge relief for me. At least I didn't have to worry that she's just gone, you know. But,
right.
But like you said, she's still out there somewhere and she still loves me. And I definitely feel that she, to this day, has been watching over me. You weren't at the last Quantum Leap meeting, but something really wild happened when we were there. I went up on stage and was telling a story about, you know, my journey of starting to write books and share my story with people. And two people came up to me after the talk. And one of them leaned in and she said, I know this is weird, but while you're on stage, I had this tremendous, overwhelming experience, and somebody wants me to tell you that I'm proud of you. And she looked at me kind of funny, and she said, I know you know who that is.
Wow.
And just walked away.
One of the people that communicates with the other side at the meeting, was it? Because we have a couple of those in the group.
Interesting that you should ask that, because what she said next was, she said, nobody knows that I do this. she made some comment about how this has happened to her before, and she doesn't like doing it, so she doesn't ever tell anyone about it. And
I wish people would not hide these lights under their bushel basket.
Well, I understand it, because I understand that sentiment, because it's hard. It's a hard thing to explain to people. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing to talk about. And so sometimes it's easier not to.
Sure.
And I'll bet you there are a lot of people around us who have ghost stories.
Oh yeah,
who've lost someone or received a message, you know, kind of like what Pookie was doing.
Yeah,
and because it's so different from what most people experience in life, they never talk about it.
Right.
And so one of, you know, as you said, there's authors that we know who do this professionally. Like they know how to do it. They know how to communicate with people who have passed on and so forth. But it's very hard for them. One of them leaned into me because she saw what happened at the meeting. And one of them leaned into me and she said, man, I wish people would be more open to stories like this, you know, and the possibility that it's real and so forth. And I thought about it. And I thought, well, maybe the best way to talk about, you know, after-death communications is, if not really to talk about it, maybe the best way is to instead of writing a book about ghost stories, is to write a book about adventure.
There you go.
if a ghost story happens during the adventure, then it's in the book. And that might be a way for people to sort of, you know, digest it in a way, because most people wouldn't pick up a book on that topic.
Right, right. Yeah, because it's like, oh, that's too out there. I don't believe in that stuff, you know, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, but after you experience a couple of those in your lifetime, it's like, well, you know, did I make that up? Did I, I have video of Pookie barking. So I'm like, well, we didn't make it up. You know? So.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, that's.
I mean, I guess you could say we made up our story about what it was, but, you know, this dog has not barked in 11 years and hasn't barked since. It was a one-time deal.
Well, it is interesting because I never, you know, and in the book, I never tell people what to think of it.
Right.
I never really tell people what I think of it. I just tell them what happened, just like your Pookie story.
Right.
And I let them decide, hey, is this just an interesting story? Is it kind of a mystery? Does it mean anything to me? Does it fit with my religion? And this is probably my biggest hope, is that, you know, when people hear a story about Pookie, they could have just a little bit of comfort. My dog lived with me for 15 years, and I sure miss my dog and was my best friend for all those years. And so maybe a story like Pookie's would give them a hope of like, oh, okay, well then maybe, you know, maybe my dog is still out there and I'll see him again someday.
Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of clients who say, you know, my dog passed and I wasn't going to get another dog. And, you know, then whatever period of time later, you know, this new beast shows up on your doorstep and, you know, it's like not going to take no for an answer, and suddenly you have a new dog and you're, or a cat or, you know, whatever. And Jen Koken in our group, I think her cat, I can't remember his name. He's got a weird name. Her new cat.
I only know her new cat. Yeah.
Yeah, the new cat.
Her new cat is Kevin.
Kevin, yeah, Kevin. But I think Kevin is like somebody reincarnated. I can't remember who she told me, but you know, I have people say that a lot. They're like, "Well, my dog came back as this cat, or my dad is this cat." Dr. Stange tells a lot of stories like that in her book, where you know, "Oh, that's my dad. He came back as a cat." So whether you believe in reincarnation or not, you know, some people are like, "Well, you know, whether I want to believe in it or not, that animal has the exact personality that the other one had and tells me exactly what to do, just like my dad told me exactly what to do." Or, you know, so it's kind of interesting. And, you know, maybe it's just us making up stories and putting a persona on it. But, hey, you know what? If it makes us happy, it makes us feel better, then who's to say it's wrong?
Well, I will tell you this. The ghost stories that are in my first book are just the beginning. my second and third books have way more to do with that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, there's a lot coming, and along with my books are a documentary that's already been filmed, and we had so many incidents where equipment malfunctioned, messages were sent and received. We found things that we never could have found if someone who's no longer here had not told us about it. And it was all filmed and documented in the documentary. So it'll be interesting to see as the other books come out and some of the documentary stories begin to go public, you know, what people will think of it. And
man, I cannot wait. I think it's going to be so cool. We need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about your dog, how you rescued Stitch, and how it changed your life and what you're doing now. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today, on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com, where you can hear my show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. The older shows are archived, so if you go to DreamVision7.com and click on my radio show page, you'll see all of our old shows archived. So today I'm talking to David Allen Arnold, author of Help from Above, and he's a Hollywood helicopter cameraman and just has had an amazing life story. And you can go back and find the first interview that we did, which was a few months ago. I can't remember exactly which month it was, but it was a few months ago. He's just fascinating. I could talk to David all week. So, David, in your book, there is the story of how you found your dog. And we touched on it in the first interview, but I'm going to have you tell the story of how this dog came to be in your life for those who haven't heard the first show.
Oh, boy. Well, if there's anything that will tell you who I am as a person, it's the story of Switch the Dog. As I started writing the book, I suddenly realized, as I told more of my stories in the book, that I actually consistently make bad decisions. And it's funny, when I saw them all together, I go, oh my God, this is terrible. I make really poor choices. And for me, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a way of life for me, is making bad choices, choices that make no sense on paper. The math doesn't add up, but I feel it in my heart that it's the right thing to do. And so I'm driving my car one day, and it's actually at night, and it's dark, and I look over, and I see a little black dog running in traffic. And it's an asphalt road, so the road is black. The dog is black. It's at night. People driving the cars can't see this dog. I thought, oh, this little dog's gonna get run over. And I can see a little round metal ring hanging under the dog's neck. And I think, someone owns that dog. And if I could just stop my car, run out into high speed traffic and grab this dog, the owners will be so happy to get their dog back. This will be great. So that's where the rest of humanity is, in the cars. Everybody's just driving to where they got to go. And I'm the one idiot that will pull over, stop what I'm doing, cancel my plans, get out of the car. And now I'm walking at night in traffic to try and catch this dog. I mean, it was lunacy. It's just a typical David Arnold choice.
And this is so traffic in LA, correct? This is traffic in LA.
It's a 6-lane road.
Right. It's not a little back road.
No. It's not a highway. It has traffic lights, but it's very busy, and it's at night, and people are driving really fast. And so now I'm in the road. Well, the dog takes one look at me and bolts like a torpedo out of the street, over into a parking lot, and she runs and hides under a pickup truck. And now I'm standing in the middle of the street, and cars are all trying to swerve around me and stuff. I go, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. So the dog's gone. she didn't want to be rescued. So I of course I follow the dog. I walk back over to the gas station, and people walk out of the gas station to go get in their car, and this little black dog wiggles out from under the car that she's under, and she bolts at them like a heat-seeking missile, and barking and growling, and these poor people were terrified. They froze, and they backed away, and they kind of snuck into their car and left. And I looked at that, and I go, oh, my God, that's the meanest dog I've ever seen. I've never seen a dog like that.
Poor and, thing, she's probably so scared.
Well, so then she ran back onto the car, and she's hiding again, and now I'm standing in the parking lot of this gas station. And so, of course, I didn't stop there. I said, well, I have to catch this dog. And so I had this, and this is something that happens to me time and again in life. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how to fix this. You know, to be catching the dog fixes nothing in this case. It's like catching a crocodile. Like, what am I going to do with a crocodile? I don't know, but I just can't walk away. I can't leave. And so I called a friend of mine who is an animal expert, and he came out, and he puts on heavy gloves and reaches under the car to try and get the dog, and the dog bit the crap, just chewed his hands all up, and he wasn't injured, but he had gloves on, but it was a stalemate. He couldn't get the dog out. The dog wasn't going to leave, and so the dog's now wiggled further under the car. And so someone came to drive the car away. I said, no, you can't start the car. There's a dog under here. And I mean, imagine that. You go to drive away in your car, and there's some doofus.
Lunatic.
Some lunatic won't let you start your car because there's a stray dog under it. So this kind owner of the car allows us to just push the car away from the dog. So the car rolls away, and the dog is sitting there and just kind of looks up like, uh-oh, didn't see that coming. So now she's sort of caught out in the open, and she's still a vicious, growling, snarling dragon, but now she's just sitting there. So I got food, dog food and water, and I would slide it towards this vicious dog, and she just like was like a giant vacuum cleaner. She just inhaled the food and the water that I put in front of her. She was starving to death. And I look over at her tag, and it's not a tag. What's on her neck is a ring from a choker chain that has grown tight around her neck. So it hasn't grown into her skin, but it's too tight now to get off of her head because her head's bigger than the chain now because she's outgrown it. And I look at that and go, oh, this dog doesn't have an owner. This dog has, like, nobody loves this. Nobody wants this dog. That's why she's in the streets. She's been thrown out like a piece of trash. And so that's, you know, the idea of sending her back to her owner is now gone right out the window. And so I'm sitting there, and my buddy is obviously calling animal control because, you know, you're going to have a professional crew come in and lasso this dog with a cable and get her into their cages. And so he's dialing, and I'm just sitting there, you know, inching closer and closer to the dog and feeding her and giving her water. And he finally gets animal control on the phone after an hour. So now I've now been here like 2 hours. He gets animal control on the phone after an hour, and he goes, okay, I got them. They're going to come. And this was when I hit a decision point. And it still makes no sense. I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but I just had this moment of absolute clarity. And I said, tell them not to come.
Well,
he looked at me. He looked at me like he had seen a ghost. He couldn't believe the words that just came out of my mouth. He goes, what?
And he's probably thinking, and I've been sitting out here for an hour, and now you're telling me this. Great friend you are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, welcome. Hey, if you're gonna hang around with me, you better be prepared for some really bad choices. so he pulls the phone away from his head so they can't hear us talking, and he goes, "Are you sure?" And I said, with absolute certainty, I said, "Tell them not to come. They're just gonna kill her."
Yeah, they would.
And the reality, I knew enough to know that the reality is, in the mean streets of Los Angeles, animal control doesn't waste time with aggressive dogs. If they catch an aggressive dog, they will euthanize her almost on the spot.
Yeah.
Their shelters are full of dogs that they can't get rid of and can't find homes for. They're not going to waste a single second on a dog that bites everyone that comes close.
Exactly.
So my friend hangs up on animal control, and he just stares at me in absolute confusion of, what are we going to do now? And I still don't have a plan. I have no idea what's going to happen. I just know I can't let them come and kill this dog. So now I'm inching closer and closer. It takes another hour for me to get close enough to click a leash onto that choker ring. And I knew she was going to bite me when I reached out with the leash. But I just didn't know what else to do. I have to put a leash on. So I reached out. Oh, good timing.
Yeah, that's my aggressive one.
your show has the best sound effects, Dr.
I know, don't we?
So I thought, well, I'm just going to get bit. Who cares? I reach out, and I click the leash onto the dog. And to this day, one of the strangest things I have ever seen happened. And that dog, in an instant that leash clicked onto her choker ring, Switch became my dog. And she didn't bite. She didn't growl at me. She looked up at me, and I got up, and I walked over to my car, and she got up and walked right beside me. It looked like we had been to obedience class for 5 years. And my friend is following us, and of course she chewed his hands when he had the gloves on. I was trying to get her out from under the car earlier. And he looks at me, and he's just flabbergasted. He goes, "What are we going to do now?" And I said, "I'm going to put her in my car." And he goes, "You are?" He couldn't believe it. And he said, "How are you going to do it?" I said, "I'm just going to pick her up and put her in the car." He was flabbergasted. I mean, this was unthinkable. And I reached out. I picked up the dog. I put her in my car. She walked over, sat down in the back seat, and looked at me like, "Okay, it's time to go." you'd think it's what we did every night. And I brought the dog to my place. I still have no plan on how to take care of this dog. I can't keep a dog with my current circumstances. And I had no plan, but I took a garden hose and I started to wash the motor oil off of the dog. And she had no fur on her back, just raw, scabbed over skin. She was a train wreck. She was a mess. And we washed the motor oil off of her. And the dog that we found under that motor oil, I don't even know how to describe this. She, underneath all of that mess, she was the most loyal and affectionate dog I have ever seen in my life. And so that's why I named her Switch, because she switched from fierce aggression to just absolute, overwhelming, incredible love. And she's been with me for 12 years now.
That's amazing. You know, and it is true, you know, sometimes animals are just looking for that kind-hearted person that they can trust. And she obviously saw in you someone that she could trust. I had a parrot that I adopted when he was 30 years old, and he had really been a neglect and abuse case for the 10 years previous to me getting him. And when I got him, I opened the cage door and I said he'd been locked in that cage for 10 years and had never come out. And I said, I'm going to just open the cage door and I'm going to let you come out of your own accord and we'll see what happens. And he ended up coming out of the cage, and then he couldn't fly, and he fell off the cage onto the floor and was then immediately surrounded by my four cats who had never seen a large parrot and said, oh, this is kind of fun. And he just sat there trembling, and I walked over and I got down on the floor and held out my arm. He stepped onto my hand, walked up my arm, sat on my shoulder, and was my best loyal buddy. He attacked anyone else who came near him. My husband at the time, he just wanted to kill. But he was my best loyal buddy. Because same thing. I saved him from the cats, and he was like, oh, you're my savior. I love you. I trust you. And with that, we are going to go to a break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how Switch and David have evolved over the past 12 years. Stay tuned.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today, on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com, where you can hear our show live every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. So David Alan Arnold and I have been discussing his new book, Help from Above, and his dog, Switch, that he rescued off of a busy L.A. highway in the middle of the night. And, basically Switch switched from being aggressive, terrified terrorist dog into being the most loyal, loving companion. And, you know, I truly believe that this dog said, this person rescued me, showed me kindness, and I will return that, and I will be loyal and protective. And now you have a son. How is Switch with your son?
Oh, she's fine with him. What I learned over the years is the way Switch works is if you live with her and she sees you every day, she accepts you. The rest of the world she guards against.
There you go.
And so if someone visits, if you visit my house, I have to put Switch away because she still bites.
Yeah.
And but if you lived with us or if you stayed with us for a length of time, you would be fine with her because she would be able to spend time around you and figure out, oh, you're one of us.
Right.
And so once she accepts you, then she's just a fierce lover and protector. And
yeah.
And to this day, she's sitting in front of my desk right now as we speak. And a friend of mine pointed out, he goes, she guards you. And I said, she does. And he goes, pay attention. Watch how, because whenever you're in a room, she'll always sit in the room with you facing the door. And
yep.
She guards the threshold.
Yep.
And so now, 12 years later, after all this time, Switch the dog is on the other side of my desk, and she's between me and the door, and she's facing the door. So you can get to me, but you have to go through Switch.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you know what? My Millie, she's a cocker. She's 16 and a half years old, and she's the same exact way. And she was my son's dog.
Yeah.
And when my son moved out, the dog stayed. And so the dog just really bonded to me, and she is my protector, and she is usually at my feet by my desk, although right now she just left because someone came in the house, and that's why she barked. She had to go check out that person. It happens to be somebody that comes quite often, so she's fine once she gets to see who it is.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. When somebody new comes to the house, we have to, you know, we play games with, you know, the dog goes out in the front yard for a little while, then she goes out in the backyard for a little while, she goes in the, you know, it's like we're moving the dog around so that, you know, we don't have to have anybody get bitten by this dog. And, you know, the dogs that are protective like that, nothing wrong with that. They've got a job to do. They take it very seriously, and that is their job. It is up to us as the owners to, in turn, protect them and not put them in a dangerous situation where they would bite someone.
Right.
Because, as we know, right, animal control is not real friendly about biting dogs. And I have a really sad story. I was asked to pick up a dog that was supposed to be a Cavalier rescue. Ended up it was a long-haired dachshund. And when I got to the rescue center, I said, that's not a Cavalier. And I called the rescue group that I was working with. And I said, do you still want me to take this dog? It's not a Cavalier. And they said, yeah, we committed to take the dog. So I brought her home for foster care and turned her out in the yard with a fence between her and my dogs, and I don't remember how many we had at the time, probably at least 6 or 7. And, you know, through the fence, everybody seemed pretty okay. So I opened the gate and I let everyone out into a large yard where nobody would be cornered, and she went for the throat of a couple of my dogs. Like, she just was like, how many can I attack? And it ended up being a very bad situation. I said, okay, this is obviously a dog that needs to be in a single family home, you know, single dog home. So we figured that out very quickly. And so I said, well, I can't foster her at my house. So I took her to my office to foster her. She was sweet as could be with me, but same thing. I was her savior. She guarded me. And, of course, I share my office with a lot of people and a lot of animals. And so this poor dog, I felt really sorry for her. But then the group that I was working with said, well, we can't take her. We don't have a foster home that she can go to that they don't have other dogs,
right,
or cats. And
right,
we don't have anyone who knows how to handle a dog that, you know, has aggressive tendencies. And she, I mean, with me, she was just as sweet as could be, just like Switch is with you and my Millie is. And so finally, I kept the dog for like 3 months, and she was living in my clinic, and I kept saying, this is not fair to her to have to live in my clinic. She was spending a lot of time crated, and I said, this isn't fair. So they finally found a home that she could, you know, a foster home that she could go to. And apparently, in her first month at the foster home, they did not protect the dog. and she ended up biting three people.
Oh, no.
And because she bit three people, she got euthanized. And I had tremendous guilt because I said, well, you know, living at my clinic where, you know, when I was there and I could have her in my office by myself with her, she was very happy, you know, and I said, I had tremendous guilt because I said, I put her in what I thought was a trustworthy situation, and it was not. And they, you know, so, it, you know, switch is also depending on you to protect her from being put in a situation where, you know, she might do her job a little too well, and, you know, the powers that be might have something to say about that. So, you know, for anybody listening that you have a dog that guards you and is very protective, that's great to have a dog who guards you, particularly if you live in a questionable, you know, security area, that sort of thing. You know, for people who live alone and want to have a guard dog, there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to be sure that you are never putting your dog in a dangerous situation. So, go ahead.
I'm so glad you told that story because I think it's one of the most important things that no one ever talks about. When I found Switch the dog in the street, I couldn't keep a dog. I didn't have a way to do it. And so I had to figure out how to manage and care for a dog. And as it happens, she's the most fierce, aggressive dog I've ever seen. So I now have to figure out not only how can I keep a dog, how can I keep an aggressive dog? I didn't know anything about that. And so I started reading books about it. And what I discovered through reading the books and dealing with Switch over the years is that there is no fixing her. There's no I can't train her out of it. It's in her DNA. And like you said, she's made that way. And so the one thing that I hear all the time from people, and I cringe when I hear it, is, Oh, it's not the dog's fault. You know, Bob came into our house and he did this instead of that. That's why he got bit. And people make excuses for their dogs biting people. And that's the worst thing you can do. You have to be honest about it and say, just stop. My dog bites. Okay? If you're going to come into my house, she can't be in the room with you.
Right.
Because so many people just wait until the dog bites someone and then they say, oh, I'm sorry. And why did it happen? Oh, it's not the dog's fault. And the reality is they should have addressed that.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have talked about it and accepted the dog bites. Okay. We can still own this dog because she loves us and protects us. But if someone comes into the home, she can't be in the room with them because it's a matter of time. It's like a ticking time bomb.
Right.
It's just waiting for one of the kids to run. Oh, was the kid running? That's why the dog went. You know, okay, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
If your dog is going to bite the kids when they run past the dog, don't have the dog around the kids.
Right.
Because like you said, as grown-up people, it's our fault if that kid gets bit, and it's something we should never allow to happen. But it is a painful thing to have to accept and admit. It's okay. My dog bites.
Yep.
This is not okay. I can't let it happen. And then,
right.
then you have to then take steps so that it doesn't go down that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, that, you know, the dog is doing a job. That dog is your guardian, and they're doing a job. So, you know, we have to deal with this at the veterinary clinic. There are some dogs that I walk in the room, and the people are sitting on the bench, and the dog is between them and me, and there's no way that dog is letting me within 10 feet of those people. And
right.
What's amazing with those dogs is if we take them away from the owner so that they're not busy guarding, they're generally fine with us. So we'll just take them out of sight of the owner. And it's funny, I have one dog that the first time the owner came in, she said, nobody can get near my dog. And I said, oh, this will be fun. And so we managed, it needed chiropractic adjustment. And I was like, I can't get near it, but I'll do voodoo adjustment from across the room. And so what we ended up doing is she put a muzzle on the dog. handed me the leash, and I literally just walked the dog around the other side of the table in the room. It is a solid barrier. And the dog couldn't see the owner, and the owner just zipped her lips. And we adjusted that dog. The dog was calm, loving, trying to kiss us through the muzzle, wagging its tail. And so we discovered the only thing we have to do with that dog is take it out of sight of the owner. It can be 3 feet away, but if it can't see the owner, it's this most loving, sweet dog. So, you know, it's really about management with these dogs as much as anything else. David, I cannot believe this. We only have 3 minutes left. So real quick, you told me the other day when we scheduled this that you were busy cooking dinner for your dog. Have you always cooked for Switch?
No. I just started recently. Of course, I had your book, and I listened to your show, so I knew that it was an acceptable and a healthy thing to do. So Switch stopped eating her dog food after about 12 years. And she was starting to lose weight, and, you know, she's an old lady now. She's 12 years old.
Yep.
And so I talked to my friend is her veterinarian, and she said, okay, why don't you go ahead and cook for Switch some ground turkey and rice. So I did that and gave it to her. She gobbled it up. She's been eating great. This morning I made her chicken and rice, and so I need to kind of – I gave your book away. I'm sorry because my friend was having a – their dogs were having health problems. I said, well, you got to read these books. So I need to go get another copy of your book because now I need to learn what to put in and how to cook her food for her.
So, well, I will have to send you another one. When we're done here, I'll get your address. I'll send you a new book.
Well, for Switch, she's 12 years old. Which book should I get?
The Yin and Yang Nutrition. The latest one.
That's the one I used to have. Yeah, I need to get that. I figured, you know what, I need to go through that book and learn some more recipes because...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I want Switch to have a good quality of life, and I know she's an old lady now, and I want to take good care of her, and I have no problem... cooking for. One question I have is, I go out of town for work, so I have a caretaker that takes care of her. I don't know if they're going to cook food for her while I'm gone.
Yep, you just make up batches and shove them in the freezer. I'll give you some ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just, I freeze in like little Chinese soup container cardboard things, works really well. So, yeah, I make about 90 pounds of food at a time when I cook because we have a lot of dogs. So it's a lot of stuff.
Oh, great.
Wow, we are out of time. I cannot believe this. I'm going to have to have you back a third time.
Yeah, please do because I have more questions.
Well, great, because the listeners will want those answers as well. So you've been listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. My guest today, David Allen Arnold, has a new book out, Help from Above. I would highly recommend that you get this book. It's an adventure, and you'll sit there on the edge of your seat, and you might just finish it all in one sitting because it's kind of one of those types of books. Until next week, go hug your pets and make them a good meal.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.